Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Today I'm reading from the life and diary of David Brainerd with a commentary from Jonathan Edwards also. We're in part four from the time of his examination by the correspondence of the Society for Propagating Christian Knowledge and being appointed their missionary to his first entrance on the business of his mission among the Indians at Kanamik. Okay, I think that defines it pretty well. We're in November 26th, and I think I know the date here. Yes, that's 1742. November 26, 1742. It's a Friday. I had still a sense of my great vileness and endeavored as much as I could to keep alone. Oh, what a nothing. What dust and ashes I am. Enjoyed some peace and comfort in spreading my complaints before the God of all grace. Saturday, November 27, committed my soul to God with some degree of comfort. Left New York about 9 in the morning, came away with a distressing sense still of my unspeakable unworthiness. Surely I may well love all my brethren, for none of them all is so vile as I. Whatever they do outwardly, yet it seems to me none is conscious of so much guilt before God. Oh, my leanness, my barrenness, my carnality, and past bitterness, in need of a gospel temper. These things oppress my soul. Rode from New York, 30 miles, to White Plains, and most of the way continued lifting up my heart to God for mercy and purifying grace, and spent the evening much dejected in spirit. Edward says that the next 3 days he continued in this frame, in a great sense of his own vileness, with an evident mixture of melancholy in no small degree, but he had some intervals of comfort and God's sensible presence with him. Wednesday, December 1, my soul breathed after God in sweet, spiritual, and longing desires of conformity to him. My soul was brought to rest itself and all on his rich grace, and felt strength and encouragement to do or suffer anything that divine providence should allot me. Rode about 20 miles from Stratfield to Newton. End of quote. Edwards adds here, within the space of the next 9 days, he went a journey from Newton to Haddam, his native town, and after staying there some days, returned again into the western part of Connecticut and came to Southbury. In his account of the frames and exercises of his mind, during this space of time, are such things as these: frequent turns of dejection, a sense of his vileness, emptiness, and an unfathomable abyss of desperate wickedness in his heart, attended with a conviction that he had never seen but little of it, bitterly mourning over his barrenness, being greatly grieved that he could not live to God, to whom he owed his all 10,000 times, crying out, "My leanness, my leanness!" A sense of the meetness and suitableness of his lying in the dust beneath the feet of infinite majesty. Fervency and ardor in prayer, longing to live to God, being afflicted with some impertinent, trifling conversation that he heard, but enjoying sweetness in Christian conversation. Saturday, December 11, conversed with a dear friend to whom I had thought of giving a liberal education, and being at the whole charge of it, that he might be fitted for the gospel ministry. I acquainted him with my thoughts in that matter, and so left him to consider of it till I should see him again. Then I rode to Bethlehem, came to Mr. Bellamy's lodgings, and spent the evening with him in sweet conversation and prayer. We recommended the concern of sending my friend to college to the God of all grace. Blessed be the Lord for this evening's opportunity together. Lord's Day, December 12. I felt in the morning as if I had little or no power either to pray or preach. I felt a distressing need of divine help. I went to meeting trembling, but it pleased God to assist me in prayer and sermon. I think my soul scarce ever penetrated so far into the immaterial world in any one prayer that ever I made, nor were my devotions ever so free from gross conceptions and imaginations framed from beholding material objects. I preached with some sweetness from Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and so on. And in the afternoon from Romans 15:30, and now I beseech you, brethren, and so on. There was much affection in the assembly. This has been a sweet Sabbath to me. Blessed be God, I have reason to think that my religion is become more spiritual by means of my late inward conflicts. Amen. May I always be willing that God should use his own methods with me. Monday, December 13, joined in prayer with Mr. Bellamy, and found sweetness and composure in parting with him as he went a journey. Enjoyed some sweetness through the day, and just at night rode down to Woodbury. Tuesday, December 14, some perplexity hung on my mind. I was distressed last night and this morning for the interest of Zion, especially on account of the false appearances of religion that do but rather breed confusion, especially in some places. I cried to God for help to enable me to bear testimony against those things, which, instead of promoting, do but hinder the progress of vital piety. In the afternoon, rode down to Southbury, conversed again with my friend about the important affair of his pursuing the work of the ministry, and he appeared much inclined to devote himself to that work if God should succeed his attempts to qualify himself for so great a work. In the evening, I preached from 1 Thessalonians 4:8, "He therefore that despiseth," and so forth, and I endeavored, though with tenderness, to undermine false religion. The Lord gave me some assistance, but however, I seemed so vile, I was ashamed to be seen when I came out of the meeting house. Wednesday, December 15. Enjoyed something of God today, both in secret and social prayer, but was sensible of much barrenness and defect in duty, as well as my inability to help myself for the time to come or to perform the work and business I have to do. Afterwards felt much of the sweetness of religion and the tenderness of the gospel temper. I found a dear love to all mankind, and was much afraid lest some motion of anger or resentment should, sometime or other, creep into my heart. I had some comforting, soul-refreshing discourse with dear friends, just as we took our leave of each other, and supposed it might be likely we should not meet again till we came to the eternal world. I doubt not, though, through grace, but that some of us shall have a happy meeting there, and bless God for this season, as well as many others. Amen. Thursday, December 16, rode down to Derby, and had some sweet thoughts on the road, especially on the essence of our salvation by Christ, from those words, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," and so on. Friday, December 16 and 17, spent much time in sweet conversation on spiritual things with dear Mr. Humphreys. Rode to Ripton, spent some time in prayer with dear Christian friends. Saturday, December 18, spent much time in prayer in the woods, and seemed raised above the things of the world. My soul was strong in the Lord of hosts, but was sensible of great barrenness. Lord's Day, December 19, at the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I seemed strong in the Lord, and the world, with all of its frowns and flatteries, in a great measure disappeared, so that my soul had nothing to do with them, and I felt a disposition to be wholly and forever the Lord's. In the evening, enjoyed something of the divine presence, had a humbling sense of my vileness, barrenness, and sinfulness. Oh, it wounded me to think of the misimprovement of time. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Monday, December 20. I spent this day in prayer, reading and writing, and enjoyed some assistance, especially in correcting some thoughts on a certain subject, but had a mournful sense of my barrenness. Tuesday, December 21. Had a sense of my insufficiency for any public work and business, as well as to live to God. I rode over to Derby and preached there. It pleased God to give me very sweet assistance and enlargement, and to enable me to speak with a soft, tender power and energy. We had afterwards a comfortable evening of singing and prayer. God enabled me to pray with as much spirituality and sweetness as I've done for some time. My mind seemed to be unclothed of sense and imagination, and was in a measure led into the immaterial world of spirits. This day was, I trust, through infinite goodness, made very profitable to a number of us, to advance our souls in holiness and conformity to God. The glory be to Him forever. Amen. How blessed it is to grow more and more like God. Wednesday, December 22, enjoyed some assistance in preaching at Ripton, but my soul mourned within me for my barrenness. Thursday, December 23, enjoyed, I trust, something of God this morning in secret. Oh, how divinely sweet it is to come into the secret of His presence and abide in His pavilion. Took an affectionate leave of friends, not expecting to see them again for a very considerable time, if ever, in this world. Rode with Mr. Humphreys to his house at Derby. Spent the time in sweet conversation. My soul was refreshed and sweetly melted with divine things. Oh, that I was always consecrated to God. Near night I rode to New Haven, and there enjoyed some sweetness in prayer and conversation with some dear Christian friends. My mind was sweetly serious and composed, but alas, I too much lost the sense of divine things. And he continued much in the same frame of mind the two following days. Then on Lord's Day, December 26, I felt much sweetness and tenderness in prayer. Especially my whole soul seemed to love my worst enemies and was enabled to pray for those that are strangers and enemies to God with a great degree of softness and pathetic fervor. In the evening, rode from New Haven to Branford after I had kneeled down and prayed with a number of dear Christian friends in a very retired place in the woods, and so parted. Monday, December 27, enjoyed a precious season indeed, had a sweet, melting sense of divine things, of the pure spirituality of the religion of Christ Jesus. In the evening I preached from Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, with much freedom and sweet power and pungency. The presence of God attended our meeting. Oh, the sweetness, the tenderness I felt in my soul. If ever I felt the temper of Christ, I had some sense of it now. Blessed be my God, I have seldom enjoyed a more comfortable and profitable day than this. Oh, that I could spend all my time for God. Tuesday, December 28. Rode from Branford to Haddam. In the morning, my clearness and sweetness in divine things continued, but afterwards my spiritual life sensibly declined. Well, Edwards now adds that the next 12 days, he was for the most part extremely dejected, discouraged, and distressed, was evidently very much under the power of melancholy. There are from day to day the most bitter complaints of exceeding vileness, ignorance, and corruption, an amazing load of guilt, unworthiness even to creep on God's earth, everlasting uselessness, fitness for nothing, and sometimes expressions even of horror at the thoughts of ever preaching again. But yet in this time of great dejection, he speaks of several intervals of divine help and comfort. The three next days, which were spent at Hebron and the Crank, it's a parish in Lebanon, he had relief and enjoyed considerable comfort. Friday, January 14, 1743 now. My spiritual conflicts today were unspeakably dreadful, heavier than the mountains and overflowing floods. I seemed enclosed, as it were, in hell itself. I was deprived of all sense of God, even of the being of a God, and that was my misery. I had no awful apprehensions of God as angry. This was distress, the nearest akin to the damned torments that I ever endured. Their torment, I am sure, will consist much in a privation of God, and consequently of all good. This taught me the absolute dependence of a creature upon God the Creator, for every crumb of happiness it enjoys. Oh, I feel that if there is no God, though I might live forever here and enjoy not only this but all other worlds, I should be 10,000 times more miserable than a toad. My soul was in such anguish I could not eat, but I felt as I suppose a poor wretch would that is just going to the place of execution. I was almost swallowed up with anguish when I saw people gathering together to hear me preach. However, I went in that distress to the house of God and found not much relief in the first prayer. It seemed as if God would let loose the people upon me to destroy me, nor were the thoughts of death distressing to me like my own vileness. But afterwards, in my discourse from Deuteronomy 8:2, God was pleased to give me some freedom and enlargement, some power and spirituality, and I spent the evening somewhat comfortably. Well, the two next days, his comfort continues. He seems to enjoy an almost continual sweetness of soul in the duties and exercises of religion and Christian conversation. On Monday was a return of the gloom that he had been under the Friday before. He rode to Coventry this day, and the latter part of the day had more freedom. On Tuesday he rode to Canterbury and continued more comfortable, that is, spiritual-minded. Wednesday, January 19, at Canterbury. In the afternoon, preached the lecture at the meeting house, felt some tenderness and something of the gospel temper. Exhorted the people to love one another and not to set up their own frames as a standard to try all their brethren by, but was much pressed most of the day with a sense of my own badness, inward impurity, and unspeakable corruption. Spent the evening in loving Christian conversation. Well, let's leave him at a high note right there. Different kind of man, for sure. And as Edwards tries to bring out at the beginning of the book, part of this is just because of his own peculiar personality of being a melancholy type. And there are many of this sort. And yet, because of it, because of that weakness, he was able to draw nigh to God, and God was able to draw nigh to him. So we even can glory in our infirmities. I'm sure David Brainerd would have agreed with that. And he had quite an infirmity, but quite the glory, too. Amen. Thank you for being with me today. Listen, a little bit change for those who are in the daily grind with me here, and I appreciate you coming. But we'll be here just 3 days this week, Monday, today, Wednesday, when we will probably get back to the book of Romans, and Friday, when we'll do the other David Livingstone. That may be a pattern for a while. It seems like every time I come up with a pattern for you, I change it. So let's just say that's this week, okay? And I am working on another project on those other 2 days, which is why I'm cutting back a little bit. But so much on this site for you to go look and see, and I hope that you will go look and see. It's been many, many years of compiling one thing after another. Would you go and look and see if God will bless you through some of the other things I've written? And this is This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.